The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
A UN-brokered plan to end the violence in Syria seems to be falling apart. It was a peace deal brokered by the UN Special Envoy, Kofi Annan. The Syrian army was scheduled to withdraw from cities tomorrow with a complete end to fighting 48 hours later. But Syria now says it will only carry out its side of the bargain if the rebels first hand over written guarantees to stop the fighting. That has been rejected by the leader of the largest armed opposition group, the Free Syria Army. And this morning, Syrian forces reportedly fired across the border at a refugee camp in Turkey, killing one and wounding four. It's the first such attack since Turkey began allowing thousands of refugees to find shelter in the country. Joining us now, Amr al-Azam, member of the Syrian opposition and professor of history and anthropology at Shawnee State University, also formerly served as a consultant for the Assad regime. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
I'm going to play you this comment from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She seems to have the same sort of skepticism that you did about this deal.
It is an important initial step that the Assad regime has written the United Nations to accept the Annan plan. Let me just pause here to say, however, that given Assad's history of overpromising and under-delivering, that commitment must now be matched by immediate actions.
Why not just turn down the deal from the beginning then, Amr al-Azam? Why accept it and then turn back on it?
I mean, for the regime to turn down a deal like that, particularly when the Russians and the Chinese appeared to be making noises that it may be acceptable, would have been probably a little improper or undiplomatic, if you want, vis-a-vis your own allies. But more importantly, it was a gift actually handed to the regime. I mean, what surprised many of us was the regime was unable to exploit the Annan plan, because the Annan plan itself was actually very much in the regime's favor, and it would have put the opposition on the back foot. And many people in the opposition were deeply unhappy with the Annan plan and saw this actually as positively dangerous to them. In a way, the regime actually threw away an opportunity here for itself where it had a clear advantage by basically refusing to comply with what was in the plan.
We're speaking with Amr al-Azam, member of the Syrian opposition, professor of history and anthropology at Shawnee State University, also formerly served as a consultant for the Assad regime. I wonder what you make of the firing across the border into a refugee camp in Turkey. Do you think that was intentional, or was that perhaps a mistake?
I mean, the regime's behavior is not always easy to determine whether something like that was intentional. It could have been intentional in terms of a regime that is constantly feeling emboldened, because whatever escalation they seem to continue, there never seems to be a counter to that, and that could be part of that emboldenment, or it could be just a simple error. We shall see. If this is repeated, then obviously this is a new pattern and a very dangerous escalation. I suspect it won't be repeated.
And what do you think about the international response? If it is true that the Syrian regime has been emboldened by the lack of intervention by nations either in that region or around the world, that would argue that the escalation you're talking about is coming next. I mean, is that what you're saying?
I don't think the Syrian regime is as emboldened as they may be. I don't think they're looking for a fight with the Turkish army. I mean, it's one thing to fire at civilians. It's totally another thing to suddenly go to war against a neighboring state like Turkey. But the fact that they are increasingly feeling emboldened in their ability to operate militarily this close to the border, and for such a cross-border incident to occur and them not really worry about it, is indicative of the sort of maybe self-confidence that seems to be exuding in or prevailing in Damascus, and that in itself is not very good. In one way, it could be interpreted as the fact that this regime is now going to make more and more mistakes because it's not thinking straight.
That is Amr al-Azam, member of the Syrian opposition, professor of history and anthropology at Shawnee State University. Thank you so much, Amr. The Free Syrian Army says it will abide by the now-collapsing UN ceasefire agreement if the government does, but the government wants guarantees from the countries that are backing the rebels that they will stop doing that. Amr Wakoff sympathizes with the position in Damascus. He's a member of the British-based Syrian Social Club, and he spoke to our partner, the BBC.
The Syrian government is basically saying, you know, sorry, guys, you know, I cannot play ball on my own. You need to play ball with me. And what the Syrian government has really asked for is that those regional players who have publicly voted to continue arming a rebellion against the sovereign government in Syria, i.e. the likes of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, present certain guarantees that they will play ball. You know, even if the Free Syrian Army says, well, we're going to commit to ending violence, and once the Syrian army withdraws their troops, we're going to surrender our weapons, or we're not going to retake all the areas that have been freed, what is going to stop those Saudis, the Turks, and the Qataris from funding and arming new groups?
We're now joined by Jim Muir, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Jim, what is the latest?
Well, the latest is a lot of fighting in the north of the country, where there's a town called Tel Rifat, which is pretty much in the control of armed rebels, but is now apparently coming under heavy attack by government forces with tanks, helicopters, and so on. But also two cross-border incidents, one on the nearby Turkish border up there, where there was some kind of incident involving Syrian troops, refugees trying to escape, wounded Syrians trying to cross the border. The long and short of it is the Syrian troops, for one reason or another, fired across the border into Turkey, wounding several people, including at least one Turkish citizen. So this will further aggravate tensions there between Turkey and Syria, which are already very high politically, and because of the influx of 25,000 or so Syrian refugees. Lebanese border, same sort of thing, shooting on this occasion a Lebanese cameraman killed and one of his colleagues wounded. So once again, the violence from Syria, very serious, and spilling across the border into two of its neighbors.
And the response from Turkey?
Turkey is very angry. It has talked to the Syrian diplomats in Ankara, and also it is now saying that this deadline for Syria to implement the Kofi Annan peace plan is pretty much a dead duck, and that there will be a new phase starting tomorrow morning, Tuesday, where Turkey is going to be thinking about doing other things. Some kind of cross-border activity of some sort or another is what they're hinting at.
Jim Muir, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting on escalating tensions in Syria and along the border with both Turkey and Lebanon. And as you heard, security forces in Syria say a Lebanese journalist was killed by gunfire along the Syrian border this morning.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.